listeners, buckle up because we're diving into the fascinating world of regenerative medicine today. And get this, our star player is something you probably associate with, well, blood clots.
Yeah.
Platelets.
It does sound a little unexpected, doesn't it? Using platelets to actually help heal.
Right. So we're going to break down a recent study that caught our eye. It's all about using something called platelet-rich plasma, PRP, to treat a tricky lung condition called a bronchopleural fistula. And just a heads up, we'll be referencing a research paper published in the journal Archivos de Bronconeumologia for this deep dive.
A fantastic journal, by the way. Very reputable in the field.
Absolutely. So before we get into the nitty-gritty of the study, let's set the stage a bit. Can you give us a quick refresher on what exactly a bronchopleural fistula is and why it's such a challenge to treat?
Sure. So imagine your lungs. You've got the bronchial tubes bringing air in and out. And then you've got this space around the lungs called the pleural space.
Sort of like a protective sac, right?
Yeah, exactly. Now, a bronchopleural fistula, or BPF, happens when there's an abnormal connection between the bronchial tree, those air tubes, and that pleural space. Think of it like a small, persistent leak in your tire.
Ouch. Yeah, that doesn't sound good. And I've heard that these BPFs, especially the smaller ones, are notoriously difficult to treat.
They really are. Traditional surgery for small BPFs is often risky, and the less invasive techniques, like using bronchoscopy, they often have high recurrence rates.
So you're saying the fistula can reopen even after treatment?
Unfortunately, that's a common problem. It's a delicate area to work in.
So enter our unlikely hero, platelet-rich plasma, or PRP. It's interesting how researchers even thought to use this for a lung problem.
Well, PRP has actually been gaining traction in other areas of medicine for a while now, especially in orthopedics and wound healing. The basic idea is you take a sample of the patient's blood and concentrate the platelets. These platelets are like tiny treasure chests filled with growth factors. Those are the signals that tell your body to repair and regenerate tissues.
So instead of trying to fix the problem from the outside, you're giving the body's own healing system a boost.
Precisely. And because it's derived from the patient's own blood, the risk of rejection is minimal.
Okay, so how is this PRP actually used in the context of a BPF? Like, how do they get it to the fistula?
In this study, they used a bronchoscope, so they could visualize the fistula and then inject the PRP around its edges, like building a healing barrier.
Fascinating. So it's a very targeted approach.
Very much so. And the results were quite impressive, especially considering the challenges we usually face with treating BPFs.
Okay, spill the beans. What kind of results are we talking about?
Well, this was a pilot study, so a smaller group of patients, just 16, all with small BPFs, less than 4 millimeters.
Okay, and?
They achieved an 87.6% effectiveness rate.
Wow, that's significant. What does effectiveness mean in this case, though?
Either the fistula was completely cured or it showed significant improvement. Pretty remarkable, right?
Definitely promising. But did this translate into real-life benefits for the patients? Like, did they actually feel better?
Absolutely. They saw improvements in things like breathing difficulty and overall quality of life. The researchers used standardized questionnaires to assess this, so it's not just anecdotal.
That's great to hear. But I have to admit, the idea of injecting something into the airways makes me a little nervous.
Mm-hmm.
Were there any concerns about the safety of using PRP in this way?
Of course, safety is always paramount, especially when we're talking about the lungs.
Yeah, delicate area.
Precisely. But the study found that most side effects were mild and temporary, mainly airway irritation.
Like coughing, throat irritation.
Exactly. The kind of things you might expect after any bronchoscopy. Importantly, there were no severe side effects reported.
That is reassuring. So it seems we have a potential treatment that's both effective and safe.
That's the exciting part. And it opens up so many questions about how PRP might be applied to other conditions, not just BPFs.
I was just about to ask you about that. This seems like this could be a game changer for other lung problems, maybe even beyond the lungs.
You're thinking along the right lines. We're going to delve into those broader implications in just a bit. But first, let's unpack how PRP actually works its magic at the cellular level. What's going on in there that allows it to promote such remarkable healing?
Okay, let's get microscopic.
Imagine those growth factors in PRP as tiny construction workers rushing to the site of the fistula and orchestrating a complex repair process. They stimulate cell growth, promote the formation of new blood vessels, and tamp down inflammation, all working together to close that leak and restore the lung's integrity.
So it's like giving your body's own repair crew a turbo boost.
You got it. And this isn't just theoretical. We've seen similar mechanisms at play with PRP in other areas of the body, like in bone and cartilage repair. It's all about harnessing the body's innate healing abilities.
It's a beautiful concept, really, using what's already there to promote healing.
It really is. But it's important to remember that this was a pilot study, which means it was a smaller scale and didn't include a control group. We need larger, more rigorous studies to confirm these findings and explore the long-term effects.
So, promising results, but more research is needed before we declare PRP the ultimate BPF cure-all.
Exactly. Science is a process, and this is just one exciting step along the way.
All right, so let's shift gears a bit and talk about those broader implications we teased earlier. We focused a lot on BPFs, but this study seems to hint at a much larger potential for PRP in medicine.
Absolutely. This is just the tip of the iceberg. The research on PRP is exploding, and we're seeing its potential unfold in all sorts of unexpected areas.
Well, that's what makes these deep dives so much fun, uncovering these hidden gems of medical innovation. And I'm eager to hear more about what other secrets PRP might be holding.
I think you'll be quite surprised by what we uncover in the next part of our deep dive.
All right, listeners, stay tuned because we're just getting started. So we've seen that PRP can be really effective for those smaller bronchopleural fistulas. But what about the larger ones? Could this approach work for those too?
Well, that's a great question. And unfortunately, this particular study didn't really look at those larger fistulas.
Right. They focused on those smaller, less than 4 millimeter BPFs, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because those larger fistulas often need, you know, more complex interventions like surgery, for example.
So it seems like for now, at least, PRP is showing the most promise for those smaller cases that are harder to manage with the usual methods.
That's right.
Makes sense. But let's go back to the study for a sec. Can you walk us through the actual treatment process? Like, how did they actually use this PRP?
Sure. So they started by carefully selecting patients who had these small BPFs, and then they used a bronchoscope.
That thin, flexible tube with a camera on the end, right?
Yes. To get a clear view of the fistula.
So they could pinpoint the exact location of the leak.
Exactly. Pinpoint accuracy.
And then they used the bronchoscope to inject the PRP.
Yeah, they used the bronchoscope to guide the injection. They carefully injected the PRP around the edges of the fistula.
So not directly into the fistula itself?
That's right. Around the edges, like surrounding it.
Interesting. And was this a one-time treatment or did patients need multiple injections?
That's a good question. It actually varied.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Some patients, they only needed one treatment and that was it. They were good. But others needed multiple sessions, sometimes up to like five.
Wow. Five. That's a lot. Did they notice any patterns in terms of who needed more treatments? Like, was it related to the size of the fistula or anything like that?
You know, it seemed like the severity of the fistula played a role. And also just the individual patient's healing response, you know?
Like some people just naturally heal faster than others.
Exactly.
Our bodies are all unique. But was there anything else that seemed to influence how many treatments a person needed?
Well, the researchers did note that if there were like any exposed sutures or staples from previous surgeries in the area, that could complicate things.
Yeah, huh, I see.
Yeah, and that might require, you know, additional treatment. So it wasn't just the fistula itself. It was kind of the overall environment it was in.
It's a little messier, a little more to clean up.
Yeah. Like any construction project, you need a clean site to work with.
Right. Exactly. Now, you mentioned earlier that the study paid close attention to the safety of using PRP. Were there any specific concerns about using it in the airways, you know, given that it's such a sensitive area?
Yeah, there were some initial concerns, you know, just theoretically. For example, there was thought that injecting something into the airways could potentially cause inflammation, maybe even trigger an allergic reaction.
That makes sense. I mean, it's the lungs. We've got to be extra careful there.
Right, exactly.
So what did the study actually find in terms of safety? What were the results?
Well, the findings were actually very reassuring. The majority of side effects were, like we talked about before, very mild and temporary.
Yeah.
Mostly just coughing, some throat irritation, a little chest tightness in some cases.
Uncomfortable, but not like, you know, life-threatening.
Right. And it's important to note that these side effects usually resolve pretty quickly, within a couple of days, either on their own or with some basic over-the-counter meds.
That's good to know. Did any patients experience any serious side effects or anything that lasted for a really long time?
None. Not a single one. And that's, you know, that's pretty remarkable for a new treatment like this. It also didn't seem like the side effects got worse with repeated treatments, which is good for patients who might need, you know, several sessions.
That's great news. So it sounds like so far PRP is looking pretty safe, effective, well-tolerated. But I'm wondering, are there any downsides or limitations to PRP that we should be aware of?
Well, like with any medical procedure, there are, you know, there are always things to consider. For one thing, the preparation of PRP, it can be a little more involved than some other treatments.
Right. You mentioned earlier that it involves like concentrating the platelets from the patient's own blood. It's not just something you grab off the shelf.
Exactly. It requires specialized equipment and trained personnel to prepare it properly. And this can, sometimes add to the cost and complexity of the procedure.
It's not as simple as just drawing some blood and injecting it back in, huh?
It's a bit more nuanced than that, yeah. And also, like with any biological product, there can be some slight variations in the final PRP preparation, which could theoretically affect its effectiveness.
Right. It's not like a manufactured drug where every batch is perfectly identical.
That's a great point. So yeah, there's that potential for some variability, which is something researchers are definitely looking into.
Fascinating. So are there any other limitations or things to keep in mind about PRP treatment?
Well, the study did highlight that even with the best possible PRP preparation, there are still factors that can influence how well it works, things like the location and size of the fistula, how much scar tissue is present, and even just individual differences in healing capabilities.
So it's not a magic bullet. It's not going to work perfectly for everyone every single time.
I wish it were that simple, but unfortunately not. We're still learning a lot about how PRP interacts with the complexity of the human body.
We're all walking mysteries, right?
Yeah, we are. And that's why continued research is so crucial. You know, we need to understand these nuances better so we can really personalize treatments and improve everyone's chances of success.
It's about moving away from that one-size-fits-all approach and recognizing that, each person is different, each situation is different, and the treatment really needs to be tailored.
Absolutely. Personalized medicine is the future.
I love that. It's exciting. Was there anything else the researchers found that might influence how well this treatment works?
Yes, actually. They observed that the timing of the treatment might also be a factor.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it seems like the earlier the PRP is given after the fistula develops, the better the results tend to be.
So early intervention is key. Catching it before things get too out of hand.
That's what the data seems to suggest. So yeah, the quicker you can intervene, the better the chances of a positive outcome.
Makes sense. This whole discussion is really making me appreciate the incredible healing power our bodies have and how PRP seems to tap into that in such a smart way.
It really is amazing what our bodies can do, right? And I think what's really exciting is that PRP is, it's moving beyond the experimental stage.
It's becoming more mainstream.
It's becoming a practical tool that doctors can actually use right now to help patients.
Now, before we wrap up this part of our deep dive, I'm curious, are there any ethical considerations that come up with this type of treatment? Or is that not really a big concern with PRP?
That's a great question. Ethical considerations are always important in medicine, of course. But with PRP specifically, I think, it's less about the treatment itself and more about, the broader context of regenerative medicine.
So it's not so much about PRP being ethically problematic, but more about regenerative medicine as a whole, having the potential to raise some ethical questions down the line.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And those are definitely conversations we need to be having, as this field advances. But that's probably a deep dive for another day.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So to recap this part of our discussion, we explore the specifics of how PRP is used to treat these small BPFs, the encouraging safety data, and some of the factors that can affect how well it works.
Right. And we also talked about the importance of personalized medicine and early intervention, two really key concepts that can really make a difference in outcomes.
We've still got one more part left in this deep dive, though.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited to get into those broader implications of this research. We've talked a lot about BPFs, but what does this study tell us about the future of regenerative medicine overall? What kind of ripple effects could this have on treating other conditions, not just in the lungs, but in the whole body? That's what we'll explore next. All right, so we spent a good chunk of time talking about how PRP is making waves in the treatment of bronchopleural fistulas, but I'm really eager to get your take on the bigger picture. What does this success story tell us about the future of regenerative medicine in general? Is this a one-off, or could PRP be spearheading a whole new wave of treatments?
It's a question that a lot of folks in the field are asking, and it's really what makes this such an exciting area of research. What's particularly interesting is that PRP isn't exactly new to the scene, you know?
Right. It's not like it just appeared out of nowhere.
Exactly. It's already being used in a variety of fields like orthopedics, sports medicine, even dermatology. And now we're seeing its potential in lung health as well. So it's got this track record of success, which makes its promise in the lungs even more, well, believable.
And like PRP is saying, hey, I'm not a one-trick pony.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a versatile healer.
I love that analogy. And I think the key to its versatility really lies in those remarkable growth factors it's packing. They're like a universal language of healing,
yeah.
You know, capable of stimulating repair in a range of tissues, regardless of where they are in the body.
So it's not just about closing fistulas. It's about tapping into that fundamental regenerative potential that our bodies have.
Yeah, precisely. And that's what has so many folks excited about the future of regenerative medicine. It's this idea that we can move beyond just managing symptoms and actually start restoring function, you know, really helping the body heal itself from within.
I love that. So we've talked about PRP's potential in other areas of medicine, but what about within the respiratory system itself? Are there other lung conditions besides BPFs that PRP could be used to treat?
Now you're getting into the really interesting stuff. Researchers are already exploring PRP's potential for things like COPD, asthma, even lung injuries.
Mm.
You know, these conditions that affect millions and millions of people worldwide.
And conditions that have been really difficult to treat traditionally.
Absolutely. And while the research is still in its early stages, the initial findings are quite promising. There are, for instance, studies suggesting that PRP could help reduce inflammation in the lungs of COPD patients, for example.
That would be huge, considering inflammation is like one of the main drivers of that disease.
It really would be a game changer. And there's even some evidence suggesting that PRP could help regenerate damaged lung tissue in some cases. Just imagine the possibilities there.
So potentially reversing damage from things like smoking or other lung injuries.
It's a bold goal, but the early data is giving researchers, you know, a reason to be optimistic.
This is incredible. It feels like we're really on the cusp of a whole new era in how we think about lung disease, maybe even medicine as a whole.
I think you're right. It's not just about PRP itself. It's about this broader shift towards harnessing the body's own regenerative power to treat a whole range of conditions that we once thought were incurable, irreversible.
This has been an incredible deep dive.
Mm-hmm.
As we wrap things up here, what's the one key takeaway you want our listeners to walk away with? What's the big picture message about PRP and its potential?
I think the most important message is that, you know, while this particular study focused on a specific lung condition, it really hints at a much broader shift that's happening in medicine. We're moving into an era where we can go beyond just treating symptoms and actually start promoting healing and regeneration, you know, from within.
And this study, with its impressive results and that reassuring safety profile, I think it gives us a glimpse of what that future could look like. It's a powerful reminder that our bodies have this incredible capacity to heal.
Yeah.
And we're just beginning to understand how to tap into that potential.
Absolutely. And while we still have, you know, we still have a lot to learn about PRP and other regenerative therapies, the future is incredibly exciting. It really is. Who knows what breakthroughs are waiting for us just around the corner?
Well, I, for one, can't wait to find out. This has been a truly fascinating exploration of platelet-rich plasma and its potential to revolutionize medicine, from treating those stubborn lung conditions to maybe even regenerating damaged tissues throughout the body. Thanks for taking this deep dive with us. And until next time, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep that curiosity alive.